Good afternoon, everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In today's Gospel, we hear that the apostles anointed the sick with oil and worked many cures. So perhaps it is appropriate today to consider the basic elements and the purpose of the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. The oils of various plants and vegetables have, of course, long been associated with health and healing, and as the Gospel passage indicates, the anointing of the sick, like all the sacraments, goes back to Jesus himself. We also hear in the letter of St. James, "Is there any among you sick? Let him call the priests of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven." In former times, this sacrament was also known as extreme unction, or extreme unction as it was pronounced, because it was often given as death was approaching. But the sacrament is not reserved only for those who are on the point of death. It can be administered in the case of any serious illness or major surgery or in old age. Its purpose is to strengthen both physically and spiritually those who are infirm. And by the grace of this sacrament, the sick person receives the gift of uniting himself more closely to Christ and shares in his redemptive passion. Suffering thus acquires a new meaning and becomes a participation in the saving work of Jesus. The sacrament is given in this way. The priest first lays his hands on the head of the sick person and silently prays for the Holy Spirit to come and protect him. Then he takes the oil of the sick, which has been pressed from olives or other plants, and has been blessed by the local bishop at the Chrism Mass during Holy Week. And with it he anoints in the form of a cross the forehead of the sick person, saying, "Through this holy anointing, may the Lord in his love and mercy help you with the grace of the Holy Spirit." And he then anoints the palms of the hands of the sick person, saying, "May the Lord who frees you from sin save you and raise you up." The administration of the sacrament of anointing is normally preceded by the penitential rite or by the sacrament of penance, and is followed by scripture readings and a prayer over the oil. And one of the effects of anointing is the forgiveness of sins. So strictly speaking, confession is not a necessary part of the rite, but it is certainly appropriate, especially if the person can communicate and is conscious of any mortal sins. And after the anointing, it is common to offer Holy Communion. And when this is given to a person in danger of death, the Eucharist is known as viaticum, which is an ancient Roman term for the allowance soldiers and other public officials were given for support on a journey. The Catechism notes that communion in the body and blood of Christ, received at this moment of passing over to the Father, has a particular significance and importance. It is the seed of eternal life and the power of resurrection, according to the words of the Lord, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The sacrament of Christ, once dead and now risen, the Eucharist is here the sacrament of passing over from death to life, from this world to the Father. This, just as the sacraments of baptism, confirmation, and the Eucharist form a unity called the sacraments of initiation, this too can be said that penance, anointing, and the Eucharist as viaticum constitute at the end of Christian life the sacraments that complete the earthly pilgrimage. If death is approaching, there are additional prayers which may be said, and also the apostolic blessing, which is a plenary indulgence for the remission of sins. Well, that is a basic description of the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, but there are also a couple of further points to keep in mind. One is that the sacrament may be repeated as often as is needed. For example, if one recovers and then gets sick again, or if an elderly person becomes more frail. Also, the sacrament may be administered in the case of doubt whether the sick person still has the use of reason or is conscious or of what is happening, or even if there's some doubt as to whether he is dead. But it is not appropriate to anoint someone who is definitely dead or who has lost the use of reason. The sacrament of anointing is also not appropriate to those who have not yet attained the use of reason, such as babies or young children. Babies and young children who are in danger of death should be baptized and may also be confirmed. And the sacrament of anointing is not appropriate for the faithful who have health problems which are not life-threatening. For the relief of pain or anxiety, the use of blessed oil or other sacraments may be recommended. These were not instituted by Christ for the purpose of salvation, as the sacraments were, but they are approved by the Church, and they have often produced good effects, both physically and spiritually. Father Smith and I keep a vial of the oil of St. Joseph here in the sacristy. This is blessed oil which comes from the candles of the Oratory of St. Joseph in Montreal and was made famous by St. André Bessette. And in the appropriate circumstances, we're very happy to share it with you. Sickness and death are among the effects of original sin, and they are the common lot of fallen humanity. But thanks be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who through the death and resurrection of his Son has redeemed a fallen world and opened for us the way to eternal salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.